Everyone, delighted to have you with us. You know, while we're in this world, we're subject to glitches, aren't we? Be it the overhead or the lighting or the air conditioning. I want to present to you something this morning that has absolutely no glitches whatsoever. Right here. You can have it on your cell phone or whatever. That's subject to glitches. It's right here. God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. Been reading it for 40 years, haven't found one glitch yet, because it's all given by the inspiration of God. It's God breathed. Every cross T, every dotted I, every yacht, every tittle is absolutely perfect. And so this morning, if you need a Bible, slip your hand up, and you can take it home with you. You can keep it, and when you wear it out, bring it back. We'll give you another one. There's an old saying, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone whose life is not. Ponder that one for a moment. Okay, the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 22. We've now hit the back of the Bible. Next week we'll do an in-depth study of concordance and then we'll do the maps. No, just kidding. What we do when we hit the concordance or the maps, what do? We start all over again. Go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through all of God's Word. This morning, behold, I am coming quickly. And this gets me excited. I've been excited all week long looking at the text. I just hope, Lord, please help me to do it justice, because His Word is absolutely incredible. We've opened our Bibles. Let's open our hearts. Father, thank you for your precious, holy scriptures that are God-breathed. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to your people. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive what you have for us here this morning. Thank you, God, that this incredible book has no glitches. Thank you, Lord, even if we had no air conditioning, no lights or anything, we could still worship you in spirit and in truth. And we could still sit at your feet and be taught by you, the Good Shepherd. So have your way this morning. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight. Get us excited about our new home one day in heaven. And what a glorious day that will be. And again, we really can't comprehend what it's going to be like. But for us, the best is yet to come. We love you, Lord. You be the guest of honor here this morning. And we thank you in advance for your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this week someone told me it's hotter than Hades out there. And again, I said, I don't know. I'll never know. 114 degrees. It's going to be a winter storm in Hades. And so this morning we can give thanks in everything, can't we? Our love for Christ, the joy that we have, all the fruits of the Spirit is not based on the weather channel. It's based upon whether we know Jesus Christ or not. And it's so wonderful to know Him and to worship Him and to have a future and a hope is what we're going to see here this morning. A little bit of an introduction for you in chapter 22. We're coming to the conclusion of the revelation of Jesus Christ and of the New Testament. As the book of Genesis is the beginning, which is another incredible book, and everyone in between, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book in the Bibles, in the Bible shows us the conclusion of that which is to come. Its final fruition. There are some very interesting parallels that I noticed this week as I was putting the message together between the two, between Genesis and the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Genesis 1:1, we have the creation of heaven and earth, the heavens and the earth. The term is bara. In Hebrew, it means that God took something that did not exist and made something out of it. The world was created. It did not evolve or come from a big bang. God is the creator. Genesis 1:1 of heaven and earth, whereas in Revelation 20 and 21, we have the destruction of the heavens and the earth, as well as the creation of the new heaven and earth, which is absolutely perfect. We know nothing about perfection. Oh, yes, we can look around and look at the beautiful mountains and the desert and the ocean and all, but everything that we see is under the curse since the fall of mankind. The best is yet to come. I can't even imagine absolute perfection for all eternity, but that is what we have to look forward to as God's children. Genesis 3, we see the beginning of Satan's reign on earth. That's how we got where we are today. Revelation 20, Satan is cast into the lake of fire. That's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Along with Antichrist, false prophet, done. Genesis 3 gives us the account of sin entering the world. And that's what we live with every day in a fallen world. But the good news is, on the other end, Revelation chapter 21, sin is completely removed. And again, when I ponder that, when I think about that, and you do that sometime as well, think about what it's going to be like to live in an environment, to live in a new heaven and earth without sin. Sin is completely banished. In Genesis 3, it gives us the pronouncement of the curse on all creation. Yet in Revelation 22:3, the curse, as we will see this morning, is removed. Genesis 3, there is no right to the tree of life because of Eve partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Revelation 22:2 this morning, access will be given to you and I to the tree of life. And again, that's hard to imagine. And we're going to see some wonderful things this morning that our future holds. But again, even while we meditate upon these things and think about these things, it's hard to truly grasp. But the wonderful thing is that everything that God promises you and I will come to pass one day. No right to the tree of life, but in Revelation 22, we will have access to it. Genesis 3, man is evicted from the Garden of Eden. Revelation 22, man is allowed back into paradise. What a glorious day that's going to be. Genesis 2, death entered into the world. And we live with that every day, hanging over our heads, don't we? Revelation 21:4, the complete removal of death forever and ever and ever. Genesis 3:16, sorrow comes to mankind. Revelation 21:4, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. It will also be removed forever. And these are things that we face every day while we're here on earth. Bless you. And so this morning we come to the final blessings in this incredible, wonderful book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, which began with judgment, the thunderings of God's divine judgment. But look how he brings it to a conclusion. It ends with a joyous, peaceful closure of that which is to come. And Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. How quick is quickly? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God is going to sound. Are you ready? Or are you consumed by this world in which we live? It could happen before this message is done. Everything prophetically that is to take place before the trump of God sounds has happened. We are there. The next great event for the church, the body of Christ, is the harpazo, the rapture, the catching away of the church. Man, can you imagine? You know how people are. They take scripture and they have to really analyze it. Twinkling of an eye, someone said, is 11 one-hundredths of a second. I don't know if that's true or not, but I just heard a pastor say that one time. We're going to be out of here in 11/100ths of a second. About the fastest I ever moved in my life was at an altar call in Calvary Chapel, West Covina. It's the only race I ever won to get to the front because I was in desperation of the love and the grace and the forgiveness and mercy of Jesus Christ. And guess what? 11/100ths of a second, we're going to be in his presence one day, and what a glorious day that's going to be. So now, this morning, in verse 1, the same angel who spoke to John in chapter 21, who carried him away in the Spirit, now shows him here in verse 1, a pure river of water, clear and crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. It's going to be the purest water that we have ever, 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 ever seen. And again, because of the curse, what do we live with? Water pollution, water shortage. We've got a major drought in Southern California right now. But one day when we are in heaven, the new heaven and earth with the Lord, we are going to see the purest river of water, clear and crystal, that we have ever, 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 ever seen. And when you take and put that together with what we saw last week, of all of the precious stones in heaven and streets of gold and all of these things, what is it going to be like? We can't even comprehend that. So let's look at the first five verses here this morning. Chapter 22, the river of life. And he, who is he, by the way? Well, down in verse 8 it tells us. It's the angel that showed John these things. He, the angel, showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more. How much is no more? There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. And again, think about that. And his name shall be on their foreheads. You know where your name is right now if you're a born-again Christian? Inscribed on the palms of his hands and on his heart. That's how important you are to Jesus Christ. And your name is also written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you've heard me say before, I don't give a rip, and it'll never happen, that my name will be in the Hall of Fame, basketball, baseball, football. There was a time as a young man, oh man, I would have died for that. It ended up my name was in the Hall of Shame, and instead of the Hall of Fame. But because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my name and yours who believe is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is there any better place to have your name written? Wow. And so here we see in the first section, the water of life. What's that going to be like? And again, this angel that spoke to John in chapter 21 points this out to him. We find the water of life mentioned many places in Scripture. We're going to see it again in verse 17 this morning before we close our chapter. Jesus is speaking in John chapter 4 to the woman at the well. You remember that story? The Samaritan woman. Samaritans and Jews despised one another. And when Jesus asked her for a drink of water, she was shocked. You, a Jew, or asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water? And what did Jesus say to her? If you knew who it was that you were speaking to, you would ask him for living water. And he would give you that living water that would flow in your innermost being, and you will never thirst again. She said, give me this water. Water of life. Scripture tells us when we're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with living water, overflowing. And so here we see again a mention of the water. She knew the gift of God, and she received it. And what did she do? She was one of the first women evangelists in the New Testament. She went into town and brought all the guys out to meet this guy that told her. She says, come and meet the man that told me all that I ever did. That's kind of scary, because she didn't have a good reputation in the town at the time. She'd been married 5 times and was living with her boyfriend. And he gave her the living water. And it just goes to show the grace and the mercy and love of Jesus Christ that she would take that woman who came by herself at the well, because I'm sure the rest of the women during the day wanted nothing to do with her because of her reputation. But look what Jesus did for her. Springing into everlasting life. And living water speaks of the fullness of life that flows through us by the person of the Holy Spirit. And the eternal blessings that come when we believe in Jesus Christ. He satisfies our thirsty spiritual souls. And so here the angel shows John a pure river of the water of life proceeding from the throne of God and Jesus Christ. I wonder what John thought. There he was, caught up in the Spirit, and he's having to write these things that he's never, ever experienced before. And to see this pure river of water flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Also in verse 2, notice, it says, in the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so here we see the tree of life. It's like the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. When in Genesis 2, Adam and Eve sinned by breaking God's command. He told them, if you partake of this other tree, you will surely die. Was God right? Absolutely. Death entered into the world when Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How sad. And then she gave some to her hubby. And it was from that point on that they noticed. Scripture tells us that they were naked. And they covered themselves with the itchiest leaf in the whole garden. You ever feel a fig leaf? Oh, man. Because they were convicted of their sin. And so they broke God's command, and he told them if they ate of it, what would happen? But yet they listened to the serpent in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 1, who said, has God indeed said? Isn't that the same lie people are buying today? Has God indeed said? Hey, you know what? It's your life. Do what you want. That was my generation, Eric Burden and the Animals. I shouldn't have known by their name. It's my life and I'll do what I want. Oh, you can do what you want. You have free choice, but you will have to pay for your choices one day. And the greatest choice that mankind can ever make is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when that happens, all of your bad choices are washed away. Deepest part of the sea, he remembers them no more. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. But then, because they partook of the tree that God warned them about, he put them out of the garden after they had sinned and partook of the forbidden fruit. Scripture tells us that God placed an angel with a flaming sword at the entrance of the garden. Why? To keep them from eating from the tree of life, so that sin and death would not be eternal in the lives of God's people. Praise the Lord. You see how much the Lord loves us. That would have sealed man's eternity in sin and death. But now, after Christ's atoning death on the cross, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we now who believe will be able to one day eat freely of the tree of life. Again, what's that going to be like? I don't know. I love fresh fruit. But have you ever gone to the market and gotten fruit that's just looks good from the outside, but you get on the inside, it's all dried up and no flavor. Can you imagine what it's going to be like eating from the tree of life? Wow. And out of that will come healing. And it doesn't mean that we're going to be sick in heaven. It means that we're going to rely on it for strength and for power. Its fruit will produce a perpetual and eternal health for God's people. And what a glorious day it's going to be. Verse 3 again. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. Imagine. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And again, think about it. No more curse ever again upon anything. Everything in this world has a curse upon it. The second law of thermodynamics, everything's rotting, decaying, passing away. Nothing lasts. How many perfect things can you name this morning here on earth? Or can you name any? I can name one. Again, right here. Perfection. God's word. Everything else is under the curse. Everything else is passing away. Notice we're going to see him. We're going to serve him. We're going to see his face. His name shall be on our foreheads. No night there. And again, try to imagine that. No more darkness. No more night. No lamps. No lights. No overheads going out. The Lord gives us light as we reign and serve him forever and ever and ever. And as we saw last week, Jesus Christ is going to radiate so that he's going to fill the heavens with light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me shall no longer walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And again, we experience that when we become born again here on earth because the light goes on. Whoa! Did you have that happen when you got saved? I did. All of a sudden the light went on. All of a sudden this book made sense. All of a sudden the person of the Holy Spirit's in my heart and in my life, and he took all the fun out of sin, praise the Lord. Conviction. Not that I don't sin anymore, but God has also given us the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that if we confess our sin, he forgives us for all of our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. And so again, we're not really given details here on these things. Why don't I sensationalize things? We'll see when we get to verses 18 and 19 of this chapter. It's a dangerous thing to add to God's word or take away. This book is already sensational. I don't have to sensationalize it. I'm just the mailman. I just deliver the mail. And there's many questions we could ask here this morning, which will go unanswered until we get to heaven, until we reach one day our glorious home. In the meantime, we have to be very, very careful. And I get bothered at times by pastors that stand in the pulpit and add to God's word or take away from God's word. That's a dangerous thing. God's word is sufficient. And here with this chapter, even with the things that we really can't grasp or understand, God is still going to feed our soul, and he's still going to encourage us with the incredible promises that he has given to you and I in this book, and every single one of them will come to pass. Praise the Lord. And so we will see, continuing on through God's word, heaven is not only a destination, but as we live here on earth, it should be a motivation. Because, yes, we're called U.S. citizens, or whatever country you come from, you're called a citizen of that country, but for believers, that's not really true. We're citizens of heaven. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, your citizenship all of a sudden changes. In John 14, Jesus said, in my house are many mansions or dwelling places. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And there's a guy in there that asks one of the most important questions I've ever read in the Bible. Unfortunately, he gets a bum rap. They call him Doubting Thomas. Lord, how do we know the way? I don't call him Doubting Thomas. I call him Determined Thomas, and I'm grateful that he asked that question. How do we know the way? How do you know to get to heaven? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one, how many people's no one? No one shall come to the Father but through me. Aren't you glad he asked that question? He's not doubting Thomas. He's determined Thomas. He wanted to make sure he got there. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Straight to heaven. Praise the Lord. And one day we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord, as David said in Psalm 23, forever. And so we'll see, continuing through God's word, it's not just a destination. It should be a motivation for you and I to conduct ourselves as the children of God. You are a child of God when you give your life to Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors now for the Lord here on earth. People should see Jesus Christ in our lives. They don't need to see religion. Religion's man-made. But when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, man, I tell you what, things change, don't they, radically? The day that I got saved, I went to, and this was back when I had hair, I went to get a haircut from my sister, and I sat in her chair, and she looked at me, and she said, "What happened to you?" And I didn't even open my mouth, which is a miracle in the first place. But she knew that something had happened just by looking at my countenance. Sparkle in my eyes, joy, no longer tormented by my sin. It's amazing what happens when we come to know the Lord. And that's why we need to be motivated by what the future holds for us to represent him properly here on earth, because one day we're going to be rewarded. Meaning you don't earn your way to heaven, but because of the things we do for the Lord, we're going to be rewarded one day. And that blows me away as well. I don't deserve a reward. I'm just grateful to be there. Even if there's no reward waiting for me, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to be flat on my face. Thank you, Lord. But one day we will dwell in the heavenly city up there. And this should really impact our lives down here. Do you think? Verse 6, then he, the angel, said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. And I got news for you, folks. When God says shortly, it's shortly. When we're younger, we think, we got tons of time left. But I was sharing with a brother this morning who's about to have a birthday. I'm not going to tell you how many years. But when you reach a certain age, you go, wow, how did I get here so fast? How did I get here so fast? And it's like that all of a sudden. And then I mentioned to him, I wonder how Methuselah felt. He was 987. Can you imagine? 987. And so here we see God's incredible promises. Notice, again, continuing on. Behold, this is first of the third time, of the three times we read this, behold, I am coming quickly. We see the word back in verse 6, shortly. We see the word now in verse 7, quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Now, three times we sense the urgency, don't we, in the heart of John as he writes these things. Shortly, quickly, time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Again, we're reminded of God's word being faithful, God's word being true. We can put our faith in God's faithful word, knowing that every single cross T, every single dotted I in this book is given by the inspiration of God, and it is true, and it's going to come to pass. Isn't that great? Doesn't that give you comfort? It should give us peace. Because I often think, if I didn't know Jesus Christ and I saw what was going on in our world right now today, man, I don't know where I'd be at. I know where I was before, when the world was actually a little bit better without Jesus Christ. But I can't imagine what I'd be doing now to numb the pain. And there's a lot of people in pain right now with what's going on physically and spiritually and financially and emotionally in our nation today. But we can hold on to God's faithful and true word. You can take it all the way to heaven, showing us, his servants, what will, again, shortly take place. Blessed. You know that word, blessed? I love that word. You know what that means? Oh, how happy. Blessed is he or she who keeps the words of this book. And you know what? When we get into God's word, when we obey God's word, we're blessed. We really are. And it's so wonderful to read the incredible promises that God gives us in his word, and for his word to fill us with that living water overflowing and to give us peace and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit that the world knows nothing about. He gives us comfort to our soul. Blessed. Do you know you're blessed? We kind of use that word flippantly, unfortunately, in the world today. Oh, how happy. Are you happy today? The amazing thing about a relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter what is going on in your life, we can still have the joy of the Lord, knowing he's in full control and knowing he's going to see us all the way through. Whatever you're going through, he's going to see you all the way through. Oh, yes, we go through tears and troubles and trials and tribulations. But what keeps us going and is knowing that he has his love and his peace and his joy and his mercy and all these wonderful things right there in our hearts. And so here we see, blessed is he or she who reads the words of this book, meaning we must read God's word. Do you spend time reading God's word? Do you give him equal time to the television set, or the internet, or your cell phone? We need to read God's word, and we need to guard God's word. We need to watch over God's word. All of it. This precious book is my most precious earthly possession. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. And again, as we will see many times in this chapter, he says, behold, I am coming quickly. Quickly. Many times, again, I wonder if I'm going to finish this message this morning. We could be out of here. Oh, come on, Pastor Joe. Be real. You know they said the same thing to Peter? You guys have been saying that for thousands of years. When people say that to me, you know what I tell them? Thank you for fulfilling Scripture. And let me read it to you. 2 Peter 3, Peter speaking, for Pete's sake. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Would you say we got scoffers around? Walking according to their own lusts. Would you say that's true today? Listen to this. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since their fathers died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's the way people think. Listen to this. They willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that when existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved for the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Again, not only are we going to be out of here quick, but judgment's going to be coming just as quick. Beloved, do not forget, and here's the key, with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. God doesn't live by a Rolex or Timex. God is eternal. Praise God, no more calendars, no more clocks or watches in heaven. What's that going to be like? But to God, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. Didn't we just sing a moment ago, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun? 10,000's nothing. And what a glorious day it's going to be. But yet the world today, oh, come on, you guys. You've been saying this for years. Thank you very much for confirming God's word and even proving more so that we're living in the last days. And so we see here, again, in verses 8 to 11, what John saw and heard these things. He fell down and worshiped at his feet, the angel. This is the second time John has made this mistake. He was just so overcome by what he saw and heard that he fell on his face. But the first of the Ten Commandments, as we know from Exodus chapter 20, tells us, "You shall not have any other gods but me." And look at all of the gods, small g, if you would, in this world today. There are false religions and cults and everything meeting, even right now as I speak, and people bowing down to false gods. Baal is still alive and well. Moloch is still alive and well. We've just changed the names. Jesus said the greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And so here at the end of the Bible, this truth is reiterated as a reminder to this day, worship God and Him alone. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Ah, Pastor Joe, where do you get that Trinity stuff? I'm glad you asked. First verse of the Bible, in the beginning, Elohim. In the beginning, God, Elohim. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three people right there in the first verse of God's word. Triune God. Worship God. And again, because of our destination, worshiping God should be our motivation. Worship God. And worship has a major place in the revelation of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Verses 10 and 11. And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." And again, we are, by John, being revealed. He's revealing to us these prophecies here as we sit in church with our Bibles open, things that are coming to pass. And notice he says, don't seal this book. Back in the book of Daniel, chapter 8, 26, that book was to be sealed until further notice. Guess what? We're living in that time right now. All of the things that even Daniel wrote are coming to pass. All the we see in the world, look at Israel, keep your eyes on Israel. She's surrounded by her enemies. Magog from the north, Gog from the north. All of these things right now are coming to pass right before our eyes. And as I've mentioned, almost every week, that there's going to be a third temple rebuilt, and they're working on that right now. Notice verse 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. And that's those that refuse Jesus Christ, want to live their lives and do what they want. But he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. And so here, because the time is at hand, And because Jesus could come quickly right now at this very moment, it says the unjust, the filthy are going to remain in their sinful ways, locked in. That's the world system today. Even during the tribulation period, as we read a few weeks back, even when judgment starts to come upon the earth, people refuse to repent. Their hearts are so hard and they're so caught up with their filthiness and their immorality and all these filthy, wicked things that they do. Crazy, they're locked in. The believers, though, in Jesus Christ, the righteous, because of Jesus Christ, we press on, we continue on. We live righteous and holy lives. God has given us all that pertains to life and godliness. We have the ability to live righteous lives and holy lives, not perfect lives, but it gets better. He that's in Christ is a new creation. All the old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I wish it all happened at once. But it's a gradual thing. We're all growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When I got saved, God took some of the big things I thought were big things right away. And we all struggle with these little things, the mind games and, you know, judging people and gossip. And this little member in our mouth called the tongue can get out of hand, can't it? Well, J. Vernon McGee says that's why God encased it in teeth. So you can bite that sucker when you need to. We need to read God's word. Do you read God's word? We need to hear God's word. It's one thing to read it, but another thing to hear it. We need to be prepared for Christ's soon return. Quickly. 12 to 17. I still got 3 more hours, so we'll get through this. And behold, again, hello. You know, God only has to tell us something once, doesn't he? In this chapter, 3 times. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed, there's that term again. Oh, how happy are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And again, what is that going to be like to enter into the gates of the New Jerusalem? Can't even imagine. Wow. But outside, those that won't enter into heaven, the New Jerusalem, the holy city, outside are dogs, sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Who's the father of the lie? I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Wow. And again, how important is purity in the lives of the believer? We are to strive daily to continually keep our lives holy. And again, as I've shared many times, God would never command you and I to do something that he would not give us the ability and the power to do. He says, be holy as I am holy. And God will give us the ability to be holy. Not in a pharisaical way or a self-righteous way. Chuck Smith always used to tell us the way up is down. If you really want to become something in this world, become nothing. And the less of us that shows up, the more of Jesus Christ that shows up in our lives. It's funny how that works. Be ready right now for Christ's return. And I'm not going to get up here and be a cheerleader this morning. I don't have to yell. I don't have to scream. I don't have to get the pom-poms out. Go team, go. Fight team, fight. No. We should have ears to hear what God is saying. I'm coming quickly. Behold, wake up. I am coming quickly. And we're going to be rewarded, it says, one day for our works. You're not saved by your works. But Jesus said, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. You know, right on down the line. And anytime we do any little thing in the name of Jesus Christ, we get reward being stored up in heaven. That's not why we do it. We do it out of a love for Jesus Christ, and isn't it amazing that he would give us a rewards for doing his work? We're going to be rewarded for our works. And again, I am not going to add to or take away from God's word. You'll have to wait and see what your rewards will be. One thing I do know from Scripture, one thing I can say from Scripture, is that you will, as a believer, as we've seen, you're going to eat from the tree of life and you're going to enter into the gates of the city. But as far as rewards, you have to wait and see. But notice in verse 15, to me that's a sad verse. But again, it's a warning to those who procrastinate, put it off. I'm not ready for that religious stuff. You know what I tell people when they tell me that? I'm not either. I don't go for religion. I go for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come and die on a cross to form a religion. He came and died on that cross to form a relationship with you and me. But for those who reject Jesus Christ, those who are excluded from heaven, those who are excluded from the holy city, those who bought Satan's lie, who were deceived like the rest of the world they loved, it says, and practiced the lie. And look at the lies we're dealing with today. We got lies, we got fake news, all of this stuff, deception. And what we need to do, if you know the truth of God's word, when the lie pops up, guess what? Automatically you're going to see it like, wow, right there, hidden in plain sight. And I think it's so important that we know the truth. And then when the lie comes along, hey, we got it, right? Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. So we see again, King David. Why is King David so important? Because Scripture tells us very clearly that the Messiah, upstairs they would say the Mashiach, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come through his lineage, through his family tree. And so Jesus is both David's his creator and his heir. He's God. He created everything. As creator, he existed long before David. But the plan was eternal. As heir, he was David's descendant in the messianic line. It's amazing. That's why we have all of the begots in chapter 1 of Matthew. Begot, 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 begot. Sometime when you get a chance, do a study of Jesus' family tree. It is amazing. Some of those that are in the family tree of the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. As Messiah, he's the bright and morning star, it says here. He's the light of the world. He's the Savior. The Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, extend an invitation here to come. All of those that we saw who are unjust and those who are filthy and caught up in the world, God continually bids them to come. It's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. And even right now, God, through the Holy Spirit and through the bride of Christ, yes, you're the bride of Christ, is bidding the unbelievers to come. Is your heart broken for the lost world out there? I hope so. Oh, yes, we're going to heaven. Oh, yes, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more curse. But you don't want to leave these people behind. We need to bid them to come. Come to Jesus. You know, it's not about come to Calvary Chapel. It's come to Jesus. That happened before I ever entered the church. I came to Jesus Christ, and I confirmed it publicly going to church. But we need to come to Jesus. Come, it says, come to Jesus, those who thirst. Come, take of the water, the living water, freely. It's a free gift of God. For the Holy Spirit to come in and refresh your soul. I really think that this is a wonderful warning. It really is. To those who might twist, distort, misquote, or even add to or take away from God's word, look at verses 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone, again, all inclusive, who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. God ends this chapter with an incredible warning. It's a dangerous thing to twist the word of God. I call those folks twistians. They twist the word of God. They distort it. They try to sensationalize it. They add to it. Some even take away. Yeah. I've seen people remove things. You know that there are Bible translations out there that are total blasphemy to the Holy Spirit. Do you know that there is now a Bible called the New King James? Yeah, guess where that one's going? Promoting homosexuality. What did God say back in verse 15? The sexually immoral. He warns them. Fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites. And again, I'm not blasting them. I would hope that the truth of God's word would bless them and draw them to the Lord so that he could give them a new life and a new heart and a new destination one day, because there's only two choices, heaven or hell. Very clearly. And I can say that not even being worried about adding to or taking away from God's word, because God's word is very clear. Everyone gets eternal life, either in heaven or in hell. And those that take from God's holy word, look out, man. These are the words of eternal life. We need to handle God's word with care. A pastor is called to take God's word. Observation, interpretation, and application. That's our responsibility. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Behold, sheep food. And it's so important that the sheep get fed. And one of the many things I love about this fellowship is we get an hour of God's word every week. And I'm not boasting by any means, but I had one complaint since we've been in this church, is that the message was too short. Praise the Lord. We have to be careful. This Bible is given by the inspiration of God. You know, somebody is taking away or adding to it, that is defamation of character to God. And that's a dangerous place to be. This is not given by human authority or human interpretation. It's God's authoritative, holy scriptures. And God doesn't mince words here in verses 18 and 19, does he? He makes it pretty clear. Don't mess with my book, paraphrase. And you've heard me a million times, if you'd be coming here any length of time, quote from what James says. James 3:1, not many should teach God's word, because you will receive a stricter judgment. And many times before coming up to share, I still get nervous after all these years, but it's not that I'm afraid of the people. It is that I'm afraid of misrepresenting God's word. And my prayer just before I hit this podium is, God, please help me not to deviate. Help me, Lord, to speak your word in spirit and in truth, bottom line. We need to be very, very careful, those who handle God's word. And you know what? The television is filled with false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing. And the best way to know the difference between fur and fleece, right here. This will expose the fur in a second. We're there. Time to close. Verse 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things, here we go again, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's the third time, isn't it? Third time. Surely, and again, he comes from behold to surely I am coming quickly. And even so, come Lord Jesus. Is that the cry of your heart? I would hope so for every one of us, that we would be so excited about the return of our King very, very soon, quickly. But at the same time, it would have an impact on our lives, that we would purify our lives and be holy, be filled with God's Spirit, and be a proper witness and ambassador, if you would, while we still live here on earth. No one, and again, how much is no one? No one knows the day or the hour. And that's another thing that bothers me with verses 18 and 19. I have heard people over the years predict when Jesus Christ is going to return. Again, speculation. Again, false prophets. The all important thing is to be ready. Are you ready? Anybody here ready? Remember as a kid, if you're ancient like I am, playing a game called hide and go seek? Ready or not, here I come. Are you ready? As we close, as I usually do, I like to give an invitation for those who are not absolutely 100% sure that they're going to heaven. If God's Spirit has spoken to you through the Word, and what we've seen here this morning, if you feel that you really, really, really need to open up your heart and invite Jesus Christ in, that's the best thing that can ever happen to you. And if you would like to, as the Apostle Paul said, who was a very religious man at one time, until he got saved, he said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the Bible also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. I don't know everybody in the room here this morning. That's not up to me. I'm the mailman, like I said. But if God has spoken to you this morning and you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand to publicly confess and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Anyone, praise the Lord. Anybody else? He's coming quickly, folks. I mean quickly. Are you ready? Praise God. Anybody else? Welcome to the family of God. Pray this prayer with me, if you would, out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption as I give my life to you, and I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know what the Bible also says? The Bible also says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. So let's rejoice with the angels. And we're not talking the baseball team here. The angels in heaven. Hey, let's all stand one more time. Where's our worship group? Here they come. Yeah, no overhead. I'm out of here. I love you guys. I thank God for you guys every day. And may the Lord just pour out his blessings upon your life this week and go out there and be a light and bid the people to come to Jesus. God bless you.
Amen.
See you upstairs with the donuts.